Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Good to be back with you once more. This is Eastbound and Fourth Down, your weekly look into both sports and nonsense, wherever it may be. Quite the high culture hour, if you really think about it.
Yes, we really get into the zeitgeist of the population these days. Really hitting those key social things.
In both joy and melancholy. It is a pleasure to discuss issues with you this evening. My name is Ryan Kelly, college student.
Did this turn into Inside the Actor's Studio?
This did not. You want James Lipton?
You're kind of giving me James Lipton right now. I'm Craig Wilson, alongside of the ride here.
James Lipton. So, Craig, when you were in Deliverance, what went into being so exuberant in that role?
Well, I got to wear a vest with no shirt on.
Sensational.
And carry a crossbow.
Fantastic.
Pretty much, if carrying a crossbow is the manliest thing you can do.
All right, let's cut this again. So as you're probably aware, the beating is over. The beating your bracket took, that is. College basketball has a new national champion. Final Four. I told Craig, I said, everything I touch in this tournament dies. I told you people that. And guess what? I touched Florida. I touched the Gators.
Touched them in a place they didn't like.
Said they were going to win the whole thing. And what happened after I touched them?
They had the lowest assist they've ever had in a game. I'm pretty sure the stat was ever.
I think they had
somewhere between 4 and 6 assists that entire game.
If you guard Scotty Wilbekin, the rest of Florida's going to go cold. And when the rest of Florida goes cold against a talented team, they get outshot and outscored.
Like I said, UConn's guards play phenomenal defense. Shabazz Napier and the rest of his backcourt companions play out of their mind defense. Just pressure defense the entire game. Whistle to whistle.
Well, then it would only make sense that the UConn Huskies are the national champions. However, I don't think they would have been had Wisconsin squeaked by Kentucky, because Wisconsin, quite frankly, got hosed down the stretch. There were a lot of calls that shouldn't have been there, especially in crucial moments of the game.
I went back and looked at all the calls Kentucky got. You're referring to the times that Kentucky got fouled.
I'm referring to the ridiculous and one.
Look.
In most.
Kentucky didn't. They got 3 within the last, I believe it was 7. I think it's 7 minutes of the game. They got 3 fouls, and they came approximately 2 minutes in between. And throughout that, there were at least 10 possessions, not both ways. But big picture,
I'm just asking you call it both ways.
Here's the thing, though. They did call it both ways because Kentucky's game is about scoring inside the paint. And if you go inside the paint and you go up and you get contact, it's going to get called. Wisconsin.
But there wasn't contact.
Yes, there was contact.
It was ball.
Look, there's time to be bitter. Kentucky lost. Don't be so bitter.
I'm not being bitter. I'm being objective.
Look, you're just mad because Wisconsin defied you, and then when you picked them, they went and lost.
I didn't pick them. I picked Florida.
No, you picked Wisconsin over Kentucky.
That I did. But the thing is this. This was a weird tournament. It was a very weird tournament. That was very reflective of the parody-filled nature of college basketball right now.
And the horrible job done by the seeding committee. Kentucky's a 4 seed.
Granted, it makes a phenomenal tournament. It just makes a god-awful regular season.
All right, let's just go ahead and give the tournament a grade. Overall, what's your grade for the tournament?
B+.
I'm going to give it a B-.
B-?
B-. So they get a B.
I got them at about an 89. 88.
Whoa.
Because when I go into a tournament, I know that a tournament is not always the way to find a best team. Therefore, I'm looking for upsets, I'm looking for madness, and I'm looking for storylines.
All right, what you just
this
said,
year okay, had on, every on. Single bit of it.
So I was going to bring this up later. Did the best team in the tournament win it?
No.
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 Who was the best team in the tournament?
Great question. Oof.
I'm going to say the teams that I think should have been in the finals. Michigan State and Louisville. Mm-hmm. They just happened to get the wrong team at the wrong time.
I might agree with you on Sparty.
Yeah, who was my overall winner?
I might agree with you on Sparty. Maybe Arizona.
Arizona was dinged up.
But Arizona ran into a very weird pace of style of play that Wisconsin runs. And that
Wisconsin doesn't run a weird pace anymore. They run up tempo now.
It tends to give teams fits.
Arizona should have been able to play. It's not the pace. It's the style of offense. It's the swing offense they run where there's no set play. It's all about pick and roll, pivot, kick the ball out, run it back in.
So it's what Florida State's offense should look like.
I can't answer that because no one knows what Florida State's offense should look like. Let's face it, Florida State doesn't even know what its offense should look like.
So, would you like to know what Florida State and Florida have in common this season?
They didn't win a basketball championship.
Opening game of next year, they're both going to hang a worthless banner in their arena.
What banner is FSU going to hang?
Listen, NIT Final Four teams usually raise banners, humiliating as it is.
No, there isn't any NIT banners in the FSU rafters at the TLCCC.
Yes, there are.
No, I didn't think FSU would ever made it to the Final Four in the NIT before this year. FSU usually chokes out in the NIT. Yeah, Florida will raise a Final Four appearance, of course, banner. And I don't get it, but apparently, like, old school, get off my lawn college basketball people think that there's still value in a Final Four appearance, even though you didn't win it. So, you know, they got that call for them. But Michigan State, probably the best team, probably should have won it, but they placed Connecticut. Connecticut just played out of their minds, but
hottest team.
Do you think Connecticut deserved to be a 7 seed?
I think that's about right. I do.
Really?
Yeah.
With their record.
Yeah. Yeah, the only thing that I have to say is that UConn, an AAC school, made it in like that, and SMU didn't. That upsets me.
I will. Hey, you want to know an awesome statistic? UConn has more postseason wins in AT&T Stadium, then the current home team, the Dallas Cowboys, and the AAC has never not won an NCAA tournament now.
Paul!
They are undefeated all time in their existence.
They ain't never been nothing but winners, Paul.
And you know what? If they don't have that on a shirt, shame on them. Run with that while you can, kids. So, undefeated all time.
So the big question, the national championship happened. Everything that Kentucky tried to throw at UConn, anytime Kentucky would make a run to get that game close or look like they might be able to take the lead, UConn had an answer for it.
Yeah, the problem was Kentucky couldn't hit their jump shots in the game, and the biggest problem and the reason why they didn't win it is because they finally went cold from free throws. And while, of course, I don't know if you want to go so far as to go again and say, oh, Kentucky was biased and got calls. They just happened to go and drive inside the paint more often. Both teams had some foul issues. Kentucky just didn't make them. And see, that's why I hate it when people say, oh, this team got more calls than they should have. Because, look, you still got to make those free throws. If you don't make those free throws, you can't use that argument.
It's what Kentucky certainly didn't make theirs against UConn.
And when you make those free throws, that's when people make that argument. But if they hadn't, I guarantee you, they're not going to make that argument. So that's why I don't like that argument in basketball. You play the game how it's called, It's one of those things that's almost outside your hand. One of those things that isn't outside your hand is your coaching situation. And Kevin Ollie made...
is Kevin Ollie your coach of the year?
Well, it's certainly not Leonard Hamilton, so I would say yes.
Aww.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Kevin Ollie, situational coaching, massive matter. Everyone talked about how big Kentucky was going into it and how it was going to give UConn fits. You want to know what UConn did? They went small, and Kentucky couldn't contain them.
Absolutely. But yeah, I'm with you. Kevin Ollie might be my coach of the year. My honorable mention, he didn't make it very far in the tournament, but simply because he was considered a dead man walking very early on in the season, turns around, becomes a power in the Big 12, makes the tournament, and makes a little bit of noise in that first round, defeats a pretty good Arizona State team, Rick Barnes of the Texas Longhorns.
Yeah, my runner-up, I forgot them. Well, that's what happens to runners-up. They get forgotten because they didn't win the award. Oh, it's a show of harsh truths today, kids.
But anyway.
Take that spoonful of medicine. The NCAA tournament isn't the biggest thing for me, and one of the problems I have with it is, why is the premier event in your second largest revenue producing industry, men's basketball, held on a Monday night, starting the game at 9 p.m. Eastern time?
That is rather ridiculous.
Why are you doing that?
It's almost just for tradition's sake at this point, but it's dumb. I don't like it.
It's asinine. I'm sorry to steal that word from someone, but I like to use it, and the rest of us should be allowed to use it without the stigmatism of being associated with that person. But, for those of you who got that reference, high five.
Herbalist reference.
Oh, yeah, you're just giving him more credit now. Now, why are you doing this?
Craig!
Football isn't happening at this point in time.
I am close personal friends with the NCAA.
Okay.
And they have told me that LeBron needs to score more points.
Well, guess what?
It's asinine.
The NBA is more than flexible with its schedule, and its Sunday games aren't even that big, and their Sunday games, their big games, are in the morning. There's no reason why you can't have this prime time on a Sunday, although except for the fact that Game of Thrones was happening, so I wouldn't have watched it anyways.
No, come on.
Excuse me, Game of Thrones or NCAA tournament with two teams that we both admitted are less than a... No. Do you see that poster on the wall? The rest of you can't. It's a Game of Thrones poster.
Yeah, he's a Game of Thrones
fan. And the books are on the shelf.
Now, if the Doctor had returned to Sunday nights on BBC America...
Exactly. It's the same thing, man. It's the same thing. Let's face it. And the other big problem is, when you do that, you're killing your viewership, your new fan, your young fan. You're not getting that 8-year-old kid excited about it, because most 8-year-old kids get sent to bed.
But at the end of the day, though, it's all about the almighty dollar and the ad revenue in prime time.
You're telling me that your sport isn't big enough to generate ad revenue on a weekend?
Oh, I'm not telling you that. I'm just telling you that the NCAA is greedy and will take every dime they can get.
Most people are off on Sundays and are actually available and are actually willing to watch a sporting event. Like 9 o'clock on a Monday, people got work tomorrow. If you're not invested in the teams or the tournament because of your bracket, you're going to be less than likely to tune in, and it's just, what are you doing? It just seems odd. Like, you don't want people to watch it like they do with their women's national championship, which is on a Tuesday. Granted, it was held a little bit earlier, but again, you held it on a Tuesday, so, you know.
Well, anyway, it is what it is. Moving forward, you know, usually whenever a season ends, I'll ask you who's the early favorite to win next year, but I'm not even going to ask you that in college basketball
because
it shifts so
happened.
Much. Yes.
And recruiting hasn't even happened.
Nobody signed on the dotting line yet.
And I always say it's stupid to say the day after, but it's even stupider right now because we don't even know who's going anywhere.
Absolutely.
If you really are a true follower and you can list the entire lineup of the McDonald's All-American, which happens on the weekend, if you could tell me, those kids generally know where they're going, but even, I'm sorry, I don't know where they're going. There's no Andrew Wiggins this year in high school, so who knows?
This is very true, but anyway, that was our kind of brief basketball review because we feel like everything that's already needed to be said about this tournament's already been said.
Yeah, it was an okay tournament. The seating was horrible. Everyone's bracket got busted as per usual. And,
and Warren Buffett still has $1 billion.
Well, he has several billion.
Well, he gets to keep that $1 billion that he said he'd give away.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's great. Guess what?
Time for the one who knocks?
It's time for the one who knocks. Who can it be knocking at my door? And the one who knocks this week is... Well, you know what? You take this one, Craig.
The one who knocks this week is a true American hero.
That he is.
It would be a one. Mason? Yes? Mason Topmahomes?
It's one of
the Plumlee brothers that's in the pros.
M. Plumlee, as he will be known.
He is the backup center for the Brooklyn Nets, playing for our favorite owner in basketball, Mikhail Prokhorov.
I think you said Mark Cuban wrong.
Oh, yeah. Well, favorite forward owner then. They were playing the Miami Heat this week.
In Miami.
Final play of the game, last second. LeBron James goes for the game-winning dunk. And he goes up and just gets nothing but ball and ends up giving LeBron a high five in the process of it, which then LeBron James just threw one of the biggest hissy fits I have ever seen thrown by a grown man, screaming for a foul, denying them, giving the Brooklyn Nets a one-point win and a season sweep the Miami Heat.
Meanwhile, the Nets tonight lost to the Magic again.
Oh, and they are still the 5 seed in the East. They have a winning record now, at least. And the only reason why Plumlee was even in the game at that point is because the Nets' best player, Brooke Lopez, has been out. I think he's out for the season with some kind of a lower body injury.
Lord. The Magic tonight, this is off topic, but wow. I'm just looking at the box. They shot 56% from the field.
Oh, that's what you do there.
Yeah.
Anyways.
About time.
Take that, LeBron James.
Blue and white ignite.
Not in your own house, apparently.
No, we won in.
And
it was an Amway.
Anyways.
You don't just stroll into the Amway Center.
I'm talking about the Nets Heat game. Anyways, Plumlee perhaps heralding a new era for a family in basketball.
Yes.
A new family in basketball.
What he's referring to is Shaquille O'Neal.
Oh, I wasn't going to go there.
Who can get away with anything he ever wants.
Which, no, he can't. I wasn't
going to
go there.
Yes, he can. He called the Plumlees the dominant white family of the NBA.
Oh, he went there. Okay.
Yes.
He gets to say that, and yet the censors tell me lots of things I can't say, but that gets through.
Simply because Psycho T doesn't have a brother.
Doesn't he, though?
No, you're thinking of Tyler Zeller.
Oh, yeah. Oh. And they all go to Duke.
No, Tyler Zeller wasn't in...
Oh, that's right.
No, see, here's the thing. For whatever reason, Roy Williams loves him, a token white center.
McAdoo?
Not James Michael McAdoo, no.
Oh, who decided he's good enough for the NBA?
Yes. Listen. Listen, if you had a chance to leave Roy Williams, you'd leave too.
All right, have fun in the developmental league for the Washington Wizards.
I'd go for it in a heartbeat if I didn't have to stay around Roy Williams anymore.
All right, let me try and think of where that developmental league team is at. There's only like...
Not Chapel Hill? Good.
Oh, no, you're looking at such luxurious places as... Sioux Falls.
South Dakota.
well, considering the words that didn't come out of your mouth,
actually, that is their team. That's the Washington Developmental League team.
Sioux Falls.
It used to be in Rapid City, South Dakota. Used to be the Rapid City, South Dakota, something vaguely similar to Wizards. It was like Mystics.
Paladins.
No, it was the WNBA team. It might have been like Magicians or something like that. But,
Illusionists.
I'm not going to go so far. There's a story behind me knowing why the Washington Wizards had a developmental league team that was in Rapid City and then moved to Sioux Falls. But I'm not going to get into that because that's a bit of a...
That's a little too far down the rabbit hole.
I'll just say this. It involves Gilbert Arenas.
Okay, then.
It's a good story.
Yeah.
One everyone knows.
I'll bet. But as long as it's not Chapel Hill and Roy Williams isn't the coach, I'm gone. I don't think James Michael McAdoo is that great of a player.
No,
he's the one UNC quote-unquote star of the past decade that isn't a scumbag, though. Isn't a complete scumbag. Let me... Because here's my unpopular...
Do you want to know the biggest problem... Well, trying to refute that statement is... How many other stars has Roy Williams had in the past 14 years?
It's honestly always the token white center, though.
I know, but in North Carolina... I don't know if a lot of people are aware of this. Hasn't been very good over the past 14 years.
I mean, they have the title from 08-09. But yeah.
I'm
with you. And you know, I've had this conversation with you before. I honestly think it's because Roy Williams isn't all that great. Duke and North Carolina are schools of similar stature,
mm-hmm.
who have a similar recruiting base.
Same recruiting base.
Yes, Duke's a private school. However, North Carolina, let's not kid ourselves here, invests a ton of money into basketball. So they have a similar money pool, they have similar facilities, they have similar tradition, and they have similar recruiting.
Yep.
A bad year for Coach K is maybe getting upset early, first round. But let's not kid ourselves. It's usually not that. It's usually getting bounced in the Sweet 16.
It is.
A bad year for Roy is we're looking anywhere from a 9 seed to a 1 seed in the NIT. Something Florida State accomplished this year. Has been at times the standard for Roy Williams.
I was once told a story about how Roy Williams recruited players, and I don't know if this is what he does for everyone, but it was kind of lazy, and it relied a lot on talent that wasn't his. I forget the exact details, but basically there was a high 5-star recruit, can't miss player. I forget who. I don't believe the player went there.
Tyler Zeller.
Roy Williams will walk into a kid's house, sit down in the living room with him and his family, open up a briefcase with all of the rings that North Carolina has won through championships and say, this is what you can have at North Carolina.
And then he points to one and says, that one, believe it or not, is mine.
Well, he leaves that part out, but essentially...
That is Psycho T's ring.
For the discerning...
Do not touch it or he will bite your finger.
Unless you run our test, and then he will apologize profusely.
Yes, he will. It's okay, man. I'm so sorry.
He knows you. Basically, he lives off of Dean.
Oh, yeah.
For a guy who gets so much credit, I have never seen such a quote-unquote talented individual live so much off of a far superior talent.
And let's face it, if North Carolina doesn't have that guy, if they don't have that Heronsborough type figure, the only way they can score is in transition.
You sure Heronsborough doesn't have a brother?
Positive. Zeller does. By the way, unpopular opinion, I'm going to get it on public record right now, I hated Tyler Zeller more than I hated Tyler Heronsborough.
That's weird.
There's just something about Zeller, especially...
Is it because his last name started with the letter Z?
No, just... It was... Well, let's see. A big deal was, let's see...
A lot of people don't like people with the last name Z.
Just... I felt like Zeller... Zeller wasn't as cocky, but Zeller at times could be whinier.
It's a bold statement, sir. It's a bold statement.
Not necessarily whinier about getting the ball or this or that, but listen, if he flopped and the ref didn't buy it, nobody got as whiny as Tyler Zeller.
Right, I'm pretty sure I've seen Tyler Hansbrough in tears after he didn't get a call. I mean, at this point, I'm asking you to show me the footage, because Hansbrough was a diva.
Let's see. Carolina State 2011 ACC tournament, I want to say. A game NC State got hosed out of. Dang hose.
I can believe it. It's NC State. They're playing Big Brother Blue.
A game that Scott Van Pelt even said, if you watch ACC basketball and you don't root for a team in blue, you just kind of shook your head and said, yep, as soon as you saw that game.
Is Scott Van Pelt going to become a Big Ten basketball fan now?
See, here's the thing. Scott Van Pelt is just a Maryland guy.
I know.
He loves Maryland's traditional games.
But he's also been biggest supporters for ACC.
Oh, yeah. And I know that it just absolutely breaks his heart that all of Maryland's old rivalries with Duke and Virginia are just getting thrown out the window. I know it hurts him.
It has to be. I mean... Oh, we mentioned last week that Florida State's changing its logo. That's one thing. But if Florida State was to lose the ability to go to Clemson, South Carolina, and laugh at them every year as they beat them senseless because
Florida State did once.
But like,
when they lost Georgia Tech.
But like, I know, but like, if we couldn't say suck at Clemson because we moved to a different conference and we couldn't say that to them every year, I feel a little sad.
And we'd have to start playing Miami at a conference again?
What? Oh. That's just... I'm sorry. I mean, when Nebraska... It happened when Nebraska moved, and I don't get that Oklahoma and that Texas game every year. Granted, it hadn't been that competitive during the later years in there. Except, well, actually, it kind of was, because Nebraska actually made it to the championship game the last couple of years, but got hosed out of those games, too, if you want to talk about getting hosed.
Let's not forget, some way, somehow, in his last season at Texas, Mack Brown beat Oklahoma.
Yeah.
What?
I mean, when you lose those teams that you grew up playing against, it really does hurt. But the biggest problem ACC people have now is nobody at the four-letter network pulls for ACC, really.
Danny Cannell.
Oh, that's true. We have our
Danny
new...
Danny Cannell.
We have the new... The new, let's see, what's the word here I'm looking for?
Homer.
No, I'm looking for something a little bit more noble. Vanguard.
Champion of the ACC.
I'm going to go Vanguard. The Vanguard of the ACC.
Tireless warrior, flag waver.
Yeah. he does. Yeah, well, he's kind of more FSU. He got it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And Florida State people are like that. I mean, and you know, I wish more teams were like that, where they could just give a rat's behind about the conference. As long as you're not playing in the WAC, you're good.
Yeah, you kind of need your conference to be good, so you have something to stand on.
You don't necessarily need it to be good. You just need it to be respectable.
Unfortunately, the ACC as it stands as a football conference isn't.
Is a little below respectable.
And some would even go so far to say as, after this year, as a basketball, maybe not so respectable.
Yeah.
Well, it was
basketball.
It wasn't. It was best conference, Big Ten.
Oh well, yes, but
next big, next
but
best.
But that's been the case for about 5 years now.
But you look at the talent that you have in the ACC and the tradition and the story that is now there with the addition of classic chokers with Syracuse and Pittsburgh. Look, college. Even if you're a choker, you still get for some reason. Tons of street cred.
Well,
we Syracuse, North Carolina, Duke, you know, Pittsburgh.
Well, let's not forget, though, that Louisville is coming into the fray.
Yeah, we got Louisville coming in, but...
Louisville helps out the ACC a lot.
Even more.
Louisville...
They have a recent championship.
Louisville will be there. Syracuse will be better.
Probably.
Pitt will be probably about the same. And Pitt wasn't bad this year.
No, they actually turned out to be a lot more feisty than people thought they were.
Carolina will be meh.
Yeah.
Duke will always be good.
I get it. Good, yes. Good, the word... We're using good... In, like, on a scale of, like, 1 to 10, good's, like, 7.
They'll be good. Let's see. Virginia will still be good.
How many people are they losing, though? They had a lot of seniors on that team.
I don't know. I feel like Harris was a senior. But I feel like Bennett's got that system in place, and it's just going to keep rolling. Florida State won't be wow, but Florida State will be better.
Yes, they will.
Florida State will be better simply because the same team is coming back, except Okara White and Ian Miller.
Are we getting Wiggins' friend?
And you get a better Ian Miller and Xavier Wraith and Mays, who was Andrew Wiggins' best friend.
Yeah.
You get a better one in him.
Got his academic situation cleared up there?
Yes, they did.
That's good to know.
Let's see. You get Kyle Turpin at center.
Okay.
And that immediately makes that better. And you get Aaron Thomas. So what you would really hope is that Xavier Wraith and Mays and Aaron Thomas can become your Ian Miller and Okara White.
But better,
yes.
And not still be in foul trouble.
Yes, which Aaron Thomas usually isn't. Aaron Thomas had a bad game in that NIT semifinal.
But Okara White still is in foul trouble.
Yes. Okara White has fouled out of life for the day.
Yeah, that got a little dark there.
I didn't mean for
fouled
that.
Fouled out.
I didn't mean for it to be
fouled
dark,
but, out of life.
But Okara White was always very nice. Okara White was a great player at times, but Okara White made such dumb decisions.
Yes, he did.
That the quote-unquote senior leader of your team.
Oh, you don't have to tell me.
The stupidest reach-in fouls you will ever see in your life.
Oh, and the bat and the shot selection. Oh,
but Xavier Wraith and Mays, a Devin Booker who likes to hit threes when they're needed. And Aaron Thomas, I mean, this is his team to lead now. It truly is. And
you're looking at a solid 8 seed in the tournament, hopefully.
Maybe a little higher. Maybe a seed or two higher.
Work with me here.
Listen, I'm just trying to avoid the 8-9 game.
Sir, curb your enthusiasm.
Bum, bum, bum.
Curb your enthusiasm.
Listen, I'm just trying to get the Noles out of the 8-9 seed game.
No. We don't do that until next season after they win some games. Right now, they should be glad that they made the dance.
But anyway, I think the biggest improvement to me is obviously going to be with Kyle Turpin at center. And if you can get meat on Bochnowski's bones...
Which seems physically impossible.
It does seem physically impossible. But the thing is, Bojo can make shots.
He can.
He really can. He just can't stop anybody.
All right. Okay. Let's. All right. That's enough of
FSU.
He's
got a little bit of an offensive
game.
That's
enough of our frustration on FSU. We spend far more time than we should have. It is time to get to our own personal NCAA tournament. Of the greatest movie songs that ever was.
Yes, it is. We told you that there were 4 left. We told you that Beauty and the Beast would be going up against...
Nobody Does It Better.
And we told you that...
Batman 89.
Would be going up against...
The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly.
And here are your results. Ladies and gentlemen, The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly is a very good theme.
It is.
But it's
if
not.
If you play it, everybody knows what it's from.
But in terms of sheer epicness, musicality, descriptive of the tone of the film that it's about, Batman 89 is just too good. Batman 89 advanced to the tournament.
Point, Danny Elfman.
And listen, nobody does it better is one of the best Bond songs ever.
Clearly.
But it's not the tale as old as time.
No, it is not. By the way, John Williams getting shut out of the Final Four.
It's kind of crazy, isn't it?
I mean, if this had actually been a fight, you know, actual games, this was actual games that were actually played out, far more intrigue than the NCAA tournament, I would say.
Paul, John Williams, still the best conference in America.
He is. Anyways.
Tale as old as time. Triumphs.
Goes up against Batman.
And Batman wins because Batman.
Exactly.
Yes. But anyway, Batman 89 wrote its matchups, got some favorable draws, and in the end was just the best of the Final Four. Congratulations to the Danny Elfman Conference, Paul.
I'll say it again.
D-E-C. D-E-C.
It's basically Dean Koontz just beat Stephen King in a fight. I know I'm stealing that bit from Robot Chicken, but I love that bit.
Dean Koontz.
Basically the same, but not as good.
But anyway, you know, I want to talk something we usually don't talk on this show.
Oh, yeah?
Let's talk some wrestling.
Wrestling. That's true. We don't talk wrestling.
WrestleMania 30 was over the weekend.
Yes, it was.
And America, let me just hit on the good first. What made the 8-year-old me jump out of his skin when he saw Hulk Hogan, Stone Cold Steve Austin, and The Rock in the same ring.
Not fighting, but in the same ring.
Yes.
You got a little excited for nothing there.
No. My childhood was still... Still gave 20-year-old me the thumbs up. It's like, you know, that's great. But anyway...
I'm not sure what that says about your childhood. Nothing happened there. And
moving on, The Undertaker's streak was broken at the hands of Brock Lesnar, a part-time guy who does 10 shows a year.
Yeah.
But who The Undertaker handpicked to beat him.
Which is weird, I guess.
It's not
from
weird
what I understand. No, from what I understand in wrestling and how things go and who's who and who wins what, to me it was just like, huh? Because now, the role of The Undertaker, as I understood it, is this guy who only shows up once a year.
Yeah, for about the past decade, that's the MO.
2 decades.
No. Because The Undertaker was a weekly performer for a very long time.
But, you know, shows up and wins a fixed match, and you kind of know what's going to happen. And The Undertaker... All right, I'm just going to ask you. Who's the bigger name? Undertaker or Lesnar? In wrestling.
Undertaker, easily.
Okay.
But that's the thing. You could put The Undertaker up against probably anybody in that company, and The Undertaker's the bigger name.
I could think of a couple.
More people know who Undertaker is than Fruity Pebbles.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Seriously.
If I asked a 50-year-old right now...
Does wrestling... I guess the real question is... Oh, what is this current state of fans in wrestling? How are they doing with the younger audience?
Well, the younger audience loves them some Fruity Pebbles, I'm obviously speaking of John Cena.
Clearly, yes. And honestly, wrestling had its golden age in the 80s and then...
Late 90s.
Would you say that's their golden age was late 90s?
I would.
You wouldn't put that silver? Because to me... Like, think about all the stars in the 80s and how big those guys are. And without those guys, you don't have the guys in the 90s.
They're the way payers, but in terms of when the product was the best, it was still transcending and bleeding over into mainstream pop culture.
There was a time when there would be entire walls in Target stores with nothing but wrestling paraphernalia and t-shirts, lunch boxes. I can remember when I was in third grade, just about everybody had themselves a Stone Cold Steve Austin lunchbox or a Goldberg t-shirt. And The Rock was just coming on at that time.
I mean, you have to remember, mid to late 90s, Steve Austin, The Rock,
Goldberg,
Hulk Hogan, Goldberg, Macho Man Randy Savage, Sting.
Sting.
Bret the Hitman Hart.
Not so much him. As a casual fan,
Triple H was wrestling at the time. Shawn Michaels was wrestling at the time.
Yeah.
All those people were wrestling at the same time.
Yeah.
All those transcendent characters, transcendent personalities who leaked their way into mainstream pop culture. Outside of John Cena, wrestling doesn't have that person right now.
No, they really don't.
And the thing is, average wrestling fan that's over 8 years old who knows it's scripted and just watches it to watch a good show hates John Cena.
Yeah.
Because it's the same thing over and over again. It's
jorts.
Yes, it is. It is jorts.
Different colors of jorts.
Tacky colors.
And
it is boring storylines where he always wins.
Yeah. I mean, granted, I'm not the big of a wrestling guy. I mean, I tend to laugh at wrestling, and I can't really watch it because I know it's scripted, and I understand there it's a soap opera, but I go elsewhere for my soap operas. So I have other things that fill the void of soap opera in my life,
like Arrow.
Arrow. Oh gosh, oh the angst. It was a rerun today. I'm mad. I think the season might be over. I don't know.
Season's not over now.
I don't know, it was a rerun today, though. That's for sure. I was a little disappointed.
No, I think there's an episode or two left. But then again, I'm kind of behind.
Yeah, you know.
But anyway, what I really wanted to hit on is...
A legend passed away.
How creepy is it that a little under a year ago, the Ultimate Warrior finally buries the hatchet that he'd had with the WWE for the longest time. He finally buries the hatchet. They induct him into the Hall of Fame. They sign him to a Legends contract where he'll make appearances and do things like that. 3 days after being initiated. 4 days after being initiated because it was on Saturday.
And 3 days after his first appearance on Monday Night Raw.
2 days after Raw. All
right.
3 days after his first WrestleMania in years.
Okay.
2 days after his first Raw in years.
He just showed up and said some things.
The man collapsed in a hotel lobby.
The most chilling
thing... I believe it was a hotel lobby.
The most chilling thing was, though, if you go back and watch his speech on his Monday Night Raw, pretty much a eulogy. Like, it's just creepy, like, how... he died after he said those words. It was a phenomenal speech. Don't know if he wrote it. I assume he did. Just a phenomenal speech. And then he was only 53 years old.
Yeah, I think he was 52. Early 50s.
Early 50s. But he showed his age, though. He looked quite old there.
Yeah, he didn't look so great.
Well, he looks better than Iron Sheik.
Well,
you know, granted, he is younger than the Iron Sheik as well, too.
Yes. But I think the Iron Sheik's late 60s, early 70s.
He's still a rather large man.
He's still in good physical shape.
Yeah. But
you can see in his face, that was...
It was very red
face.
That
was a very old face.
Looked like he had high blood pressure.
And he'd seen better days.
Yeah. Obviously, during the 80s, this has been a little bit wild and free, Wild West with the steroids as they were coming into prominence.
Rather rampant and almost sent Vince McMahon to jail.
And unregulated, so... We're not saying he did it, but he did them. Okay?
But the thing is...
Probably.
You have to remember, this is as scripted, and obviously wrestling's not sport, it's sports entertainment.
Exactly.
At the professional level.
Yes.
However, you also have to remember, it's still very physical.
Yes, it is.
It's still very hands-on.
Very demanding.
And unlike normal sports, there's no off-season. It's not like boxing, where you get 6 months to train for one fight. It's, oh, you fought today? Well, we have SmackDown coming up. You're going to fight on that, too. Oh, and we have a pay-per-view on Sunday. You're fighting in that, too.
Yeah.
There's no off-season. And it's life on the road.
It's another reason why I can't follow wrestling, because it never stops, and like I just show up and I'm like, I don't know who these people are. I don't know where we are in the story.
Well, what you do is you just show up at Royal Rumble like late November, early December, and then you just follow until WrestleMania, and then you cash out for the rest of the year.
Ah, okay.
That's how it works.
All right.
So
I mean, I'm not going to, but okay.
3 months, I can do that. Anything I miss, just read up on it, whatever. We're good.
Reading.
Mostly because the Royal Rumble's just fun to watch.
Okay, all right, I'll take your word on it.
That's very fun to watch.
I understand that WrestleMania's a thing, the rest of it, I don't know.
Yes.
Cage matches kind of seem exciting, I don't know.
Yeah, yeah, the three big ones are WrestleMania, it's SummerSlam, and it's the Royal Rumble.
All right.
Those are your three big ones.
Okay.
So, but anyway.
Passed away, very away unfortunate. From that, no word on cause of death yet. We both
think
coronary.
If he just collapsed, I think it's some sort of heart issue.
Yeah, or it could be a brain aneurysm.
But anyway, our condolences to, quite frankly, a huge cultural icon of the 1980s. Not quite the icon the Hulk was.
We weren't in the 80s, so we don't really know.
But we do know that wrestling was big.
I mean, I was in the 80s for a year, but that was it.
And there were very, very, very few names as big as the Ultimate Warriors in the 1980s.
Andre the Giant, Hulk Hogan.
Rowdy Roddy Piper.
Right.
Macho Man Randy Savage, and the Ultimate Warriors right there with him.
Pretty much it.
So with that, condolences to the family. You will be missed.
Mm-hmm.
You know who I won't miss when he retires?
Who's that?
I won't miss Gino Auriemma.
Neither will I. He is... All right, this is a warning for everyone out here. We're about to say a lot of negative things about
You're about to say a lot of negative things.
Yes, I am. So...
You got your rant. I got you at 47 minutes, so make this brief.
Okay. Should I just do my Gino rant right now?
Just go for it. Knock it out of the way, and then we'll get to Craigslist.
All right. My biggest issue, Gino Auriemma, is he is a horrible human being. And I know that sounds harsh for me, and granted, you're going to say a lot of negative things about me, and unfortunately, I can't prove this, because I once read an article from a reputable source about things that Gino Auriemma has done, and the way he conducts himself outside of the arena of basketball, that are very poorly reflected on himself. Unfortunately, I looked for the article. The article I read was several years ago. All you need to know is he is a generally overall mean person. Now, one thing I can say that I strongly dislike is, do you recall when Gino Auriemma said that the women's UConn team streak of undefeated games when he eclipsed the mark set by Wooden and the UCLA boys of the 70s was bigger?
I do, and when he said those things about Coach Wooden, I just...
That's classless. As far as I know, there hasn't been a nicer human being on the face of the earth and has done more for young men in college athletics than John Wooden. Like, if I had to name the best coach in all of college athletics of all time, John Wooden's probably it. You got anybody better?
Well, I can't believe you didn't mention the bear.
Was the bear the nicest human being that ever set foot on the planet?
You calling the bear a liar?
I'm calling the bear surly.
Okay. Bobby Bowden? Obviously, that's a homer pick, but...
Here's the problem.
But doesn't get much better than Bob.
Did Wooden have any scandals associated with any of his teams?
Wooden also coached in the 60s.
And that's saying that scandals can't happen?
I'm just telling you.
Wooden
coached in a much more innocent time.
You are aware of
as
how
far as
generally...
college athletics go, I understand the 60s were a very tumultuous time.
Mississippi says what's up.
Well, that's great. That's Mississippi. We're talking about California, Los Angeles.
Whoa!
One of the most socially progressive places.
So
in the
race
United
riots in California and Los Angeles had nothing. Didn't happen.
Whatever.
I'm just saying, it was tough times there.
But anyway, Gino Auriemma to say that, such an ego. Such a ego in a sport where there is no parity whatsoever, like women's college basketball.
Well, okay,
we had two undefeated teams play for a title last night.
Here's your warning, kids. This is where I'm about to say really mean things. Women's college basketball is the biggest joke in athletics. There are five, maybe six schools. Baylor, Notre Dame, Stanford, Connecticut,
Duke.
North Carolina is usually better on the
Tobacco
women's
Road School of the Year.
Tobacco and Tennessee. That's it. Outside of that,
and
you've got
occasionally
nobody.
Kentucky.
Nobody. It is a joke. If you don't go undefeated in women's college basketball in a year, you have a disappointing season. Even if you win the championship, these teams hardly, if ever, actually play each other during the regular season. They avoid each other like the plague when they can. And then they usually get knocked out. And I can't remember the last time when these, even when one of the Big Six played each other, that the game was actually close. The championships are usually massive blowouts. Now, granted, the game gets a little bit better at the WNBA as the talent pool narrows down because there's less teams available, but women's college basketball is a joke.
I agree,
say that your win streak is better than what John Wooden had to do back in the 70s and 60s, you are not a true scholar of the game and have no appreciation for the people that have come before you.
But anyway, in honor of the scummy Gino Auriemma winning a title, it got me and Craig wondering, who is the scummiest coach of all time? And it leads us to this edition of Craigslist. And now for another Eastbound and Fourth Down arbitrary top 10 list, featuring Craig Wilson. Without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, Craigslist. So here we go, Craig. I'll go ahead and tell you at number 10. Number 10, Brett Bielema, current head coach of the University of Arkansas, an all-around scummy guy. Always mean, always has something rude to say. Let's see. Left Wisconsin high and dry. He left Wisconsin. Wisconsin did not leave him.
After just absolutely getting the stupid luckiest game and the most ridiculous game in the Big Ten Championship against my Nebraska Cornhuskers.
Yeah, I remember that game. But yes, Brett Bielema leaves Wisconsin high and dry for no good reason. Wisconsin's heartbroken about it. Wisconsin loses a game early in the regular season to Arizona State on a controversial call. Brett Bielema's wife has the nerve to go on Twitter and say it was karma.
Ooh.
Yeah.
No.
Not a great family working there.
No.
And he replaced not so great of a guy at Arkansas, but we'll touch on him later. Number 9, we got a tie for baseball managers. Bobby Valentine, I'll always love him for the shambles that he left the Red Sox in for that entire season.
Gosh, it wasn't that long of a shambles, though. They turned it around right quick.
Yeah, and won the World Series, but anyway.
Apparently, Bobby Valentine wasted talent on fried chicken and beer.
But you know who's comparable to Bobby Valentine's hatred and evilness?
Who's that?
Well, that would be the manager who said that who said that Castro was a great man.
And then was said it was taking out of context. And when looked back on context,
it was
still
nuts.
Fidel Castro.
That would be Ozzie Guillen.
Oh. And he's... The weird thing is, people love him, but he just says the stupidest things.
He's your
least,
drunk uncle.
He's the least professional. No, my drunk uncles are more professional than he is when they're drunk. And I don't even know who my... I mean, and that's slandering my uncles. Good Lord. No, Ozzie Guillen, no. You have the mind of a 6-year-old and can't keep your mouth shut when you should.
Moving on, number eight. Go ahead and give it to us.
Number eight's Jim Harbaugh for me. Jim Harbaugh is such a whiny little brat who did so many kids at Stanford wrong, including one Richard Sherman. Hurt Richard Sherman's draft stock, and then Richard Sherman goes out, beats him twice in a season, wins a Super Bowl. All-around bad guy who just whines about everything and just treats himself like he's God's gift to football. Not a fan of his.
Not sure if he deserves to be on the douche list. He's a whiny guy, but we'll get to you. Number seven, Bobby Petrino.
I have a funny story about Bobby Petrino.
Am I saying that name right? Like I yes, said, I Bobby get confused Petrino. By all the Petrinos, Paternos, Paterinos. I don't know.
Either way, Petrino's on this list, and I have a funny story. After Bobby Petrino was fired for getting in the motorcycle accident with
a staff member that was not his wife.
Yes. And was very, very young and quite attractive.
By the way, that has to be the stupid... I'm sorry, you fired a coach because he got in a motorcycle accident and was cheating on his wife? I understand how in some areas, you know, safety of marriage... And what I'm about to say may not look that great on me as a person, but... On a personal level, I don't care if you cheat on your wife. That's between you, her, and whatever moral code you choose to follow. I wouldn't do that because I'm not that kind of a scumbag, but if it has nothing to do with your profession, I'm not going to fire you.
But
over
that
it.
Wasn't the big deal. The big deal was the staffer that he hired, he essentially hired just.
Yeah, to, that's. Yeah.
That was the big deal, Craig.
Yeah, because he hired her because she looked good.
But anyway.
Filled out a pair of jeans nicely.
But anyway, the funny story about Bobby Petrino is that I was listening to a sports talk radio station in Jacksonville when that happened. And it was really slow.
We all remember where we were when it happened.
It was the off season. It was over the summer, and I want to say one of the Avengers movies was coming out. I want to say it was Iron Man 2, and they were talking about if you had to compare someone in sports to a superhero or a supervillain, who is it and why? And someone called in and said Bobby Petrino is Ghost Rider because he torched his career on a motorcycle.
Hats off to that.
That person won whatever prize they were giving away that day. I remember a younger me, just out of high school, me called into that show and said that Craig James is Booster Gold because he's arrogant and no one cares. But anyway.
Ooh, number six. I like number six right here. Woody Hayes.
Ooh,
famed coach of the Ohio State University Buckeyes.
The runner-up to the University of Dayton.
The reason why Woody Hayes is on here is because he was overall a very unpleasant human being, and he punched a guy.
Granted, he punched a Clemson player.
And
who, by the way, if you ever go to Death Valley, South Carolina, either way, if you walk in the bowels of Clemson Stadium, they have like little banners commemorating moments in Clemson history. They commemorate that Gator Bowl win. And they mostly commemorate it simply because it got Woody Hayes fired. The win didn't get Woody Hayes fired.
Well, granted, Ohio State was 7-3-1 that year.
And so, and Bobby Bowden went 7-6.
I know, but let's face it.
And it took
Ohio,
three of those campaigns to get him fired.
At that point in time, Ohio State going 7-3-1, you know, that's pretty bad for us. And they'd been on the down. And they also weren't ranked at the end of the year.
Whatever. And they, but the thing is this.
The weird thing is Clemson was top 10. And like, why is a top 10 team playing a team that wasn't ranked?
But the thing is this, Clemson, how wonderfully little brother of Clemson.
Yeah, but, no, granted.
Clemson is America's little brother. Can we just say that?
Clemson won the game 17-15.
Just barely.
And the only reason why they won it is because their player intercepted the ball on a late drive and ran it over to the OSU sidelines and then was promptly punched in the face by Woody Hayes, who was then fired the next day.
Yes, he
was. For punching a kid.
Either way, we move on. Number five, John Calipari, the walking probation machine.
Yeah.
The one and done, the slimy, schemey embodiment of everything that is currently wrong with college basketball.
I said it before.
That is Coach Cal.
Said it before about a lot of other people. It looks like if you touched him, he'd be sticky.
Probably.
At least
However,
this year he toned down the hair gel.
A little bit. You know who's been toning it up lately?
Who?
Donovan. Billy D's been toning up that. Listen, Billy Donovan.
I saw practice footage of him.
Is the only non scummy coach at Florida that's ever been successful. And was given the time to be. Billy Donovan is an upstanding human being, but he's got to do something about that skunk that he's growing on his head. That's a bit much, kiddo.
He's got the white now too. He's got the wings now. He's got a lot more gray showing now.
Yeah. It's moving on.
Let's move on to number four here.
Adolph Rupp, another University of Kentucky coach. I'm sorry, anybody who refuses to let black people play for you is an awful human being.
And let's face it, his parents didn't do him any favors by naming him Adolph.
No, they did not.
I don't know when he was born.
I'm pretty sure he was born before that.
But either way, if you were alive and you named your kid Adolph or you yourself were named Adolph and you were around in the 1940s, you probably should have applied for a name change.
Adolph Rupp was born in 1901.
Oh, dear.
So, died 1977.
He'd been Adolph too long to change his name.
Yes.
I would still say, though, you should change your name, though. I bet that's one of the least popular names in the world at this point.
Yes.
Anyways, moving on. Number three. This brings a warm feeling to the heart.
The chair chucking. Crazed analyst.
Temper tantrum throwing.
Bobby Knight, who, by the way, as mentioned last week, we don't know if you've taken the Bobby Knight challenge yet and have tried to throw a basketball into the air and leave it there for 8 seconds.
This all came about because Bob Knight had the brilliant decision to stop calling the Florida State-Minnesota game in the NIT, and for a solid 3 minutes of game time, no play was called during the game. Thank goodness it was on television so you could see what was happening. But he decided to say, you know what? I wish when I was a coach, I had told my player one time to throw the ball up and just to see if they could run the clock out. Now, you're not pass it. Just, I think that's the best way to do it. And needless to say, both of us think that Bob Knight will not be renewed.
Probably not. Speaking of which, Digger Phelps calling it a career with ESPN. I'm actually very sad about that. I love Digger.
Digger! He was the best old guy they had.
Digger's an upstanding...
Had mad highlighter tie game.
Yeah. I miss him.
I really liked his purple tie that he wore for the championship.
But anyway.
Not a lot of people pull off purple ties that well of his age.
Number two, to me, in college football at least, it doesn't get any scummier.
Please read the name as it is written.
Urban Crier.
Thank you.
Or as many of you may know it, Urban Meyer. The lying, cheating, injury faking, more time with family spending. Suspending, recruiting filthy players, coaching murderers and racists. And then whining when one of the softest schedules in a major college football conference didn't get him into a national championship game.
Only one of those things had to do with Ohio State.
Yes.
The rest of those all had to do with, like, two seasons at Florida. I think you just fit all of that into 3 seasons of his career.
Well, it's what I know more. I'm sure
No. That is the highlight reel. Yes. Urban Meyer is 3 seasons. Last season with Ohio State and 2 seasons with Florida.
This is true.
The Chris Leak years hardly even register.
Let's not pretend. Urban Meyer, whenever Florida had an issue off the field, always just ran straight behind Tebow.
Oh, yeah.
Three Florida guys robbed a drug store today. In another news, Tebow saved kids from bus fire. Details at 11.
Yeah, Urban Meyer, no. Now, number one.
Number one, we split on number one.
Number one.
Because, see, here's the thing. There was a time...
And where, actually, where I would like to throw one more person in. There was, it's a three-way tie.
Who's, really. Who's your honorable mention, then?
It's not an honorable mention. It's a three-way tie. Straight-up three-way tie. Well, Bill Belichick.
Bill Belichick?
Bill Belichick is just a... No. He lies about injuries constantly. And unless it's one of his brainwashed drones that go on to get snapped up immediately by ESPN... Also brainwashed by the Patriots, who think he is just higher than God. If you come out of there and you're not one of those brainwashed drones, you just say, that is one of the worst places I've ever been. That is just... It is such... And I understand that you have to be somewhat of a dictator to be a football coach, but it is such... I need to stop myself here because I am about to cross into the Glenn Beck zone here and don't want to go there. So I'm gonna stop right there.
Well, we're at a minute five, so I'm glad you did. Or an hour five.
I'm glad you did.
But anyway, yeah, so you've got him and Nick Saban. Saban made a very scummy move against the Dolphins, but other than that, I feel like Saban's kind of leveled out in the scumminess. Not necessarily. But I don't put Saban in the top 10.
Oh, I do.
Because I think these people are above him. But my number one, and one of your ties for number one, the aforementioned Gina Auriemma.
I mean, obviously.
How on earth do you get in a feud with Pat Summitt, one of the sweetest, classiest people in the history of sport?
Now, if she had been in the situation to where she had come close to that UCLA record, she probably would not have said it was bigger than. She would have respected the legend.
Oh, yes. You respect the legend.
Yes.
Gino. Pat Summitt. I'm not going to say that.
I wouldn't go so far as to say that Gino Auriemma kicks puppies, but if he did, I wouldn't be surprised. And on that, ladies and gentlemen, it wraps up our show.
Thank you so much for listening this week. Check us out on Facebook at Eastbound Fourth Down. Like us if you'd like. You can stay up to date on all our new, episodes and musings and stuff like that. Follow us on Twitter at EB40_podcast. And however you listen to us, iTunes, Podomatic, whatever. We're so happy that you do. But anyway, I'm Ryan Kelly.
I'm Greg Wilson.
Y'all come back now.
Yeah, here. Eastbound and down. Loaded up and trucking. Are we gonna do what they say can't be done? We've got a long way to go and a short time to get there. I'm eastbound, just watch old bandit run.